Let's look at some other policies which the UUP and SDLP agree on, because Mike and you, indeed, this morning, Mike Nesbitt, your leader, you this morning, are saying, look, we can work together with the SDLP. What's your agreement on academic selection?
We don't have an agreement on academic selection yet, but one of the things we as a party are looking to do is, and it's interesting, this morning we talked about the examination boards looking together to bring a single test. We want to see academic selection continue. But what we want to see going forward is we want to see in the education system, we want to see a much more shared education system growing
up. But you've been working closely, because you told me earlier on, you said you've been working closely with the SDLP on education. Those were your words, correct?
Yes.
Right. So what...
But you're not going to like this, because I'm going to say what we said is we're talking about it and we're looking at areas where we can work together and look at things that...
But you're looking at... Are you ready for government?
But we're... This is the stage. We are not... We are the opposition.
But
we
you're
are
saying not the you're... But yet. You're saying you're ready for government,
aren't
you?
These are the things we will put in the mix going forward.
Put
for
in
discussion.
The mix going forward.
So Stephen, it is going to be a... You know as well as I do, it's going to be a discussion. It's going to be how we can look at the future programme for government.
Right.
These are the issues
we need
to go.
So let's do this down a second, because I want to get something out of this today. So you've been working and talking with the SDLP for what, the last 8 months?
Yes.
Is that fair enough?
Yes.
So on education, what compromises have you come up with, or areas of joint understanding have you come up with on education around academic selection?
Well, we're not. We're discussing it at the moment. Policy.
Discussing it.
Yes, but we're talking about our manifesto. We're talking about our manifesto going forward, Stephen. And very clearly for us, we still wish to see academic selection.
Yes, but part of your offering to people in Northern Ireland, one of the big messages actually, is look, we can work with the SDLP. And one of your big criticisms is that the DUP and Sinn Féin cannot work together.
Correct.
Right, which is why it's completely fair of me to say, well, let's just get under the skin of that and see if you can work with the SDLP. So you've been having very close conversations for the last 8 months around education. Have you moved an inch?
We're still discussing it, Stephen. Our policy is in here, is in our manifesto. This is what we're doing.
Have you moved an inch with the SDLP? This close working relationship, have you both come up with anything around academic selection?
We are discussing. Bearing in mind we didn't even know there was going to be an election until when, Stephen? January this year? What we're about is trying to give people in Northern Ireland a genuine alternative, a better way of doing government, something that's not arrogant, something that's not incompetent, something that's not cronyistic, and something very clearly that doesn't even have a whiff of corruption.
But you are
asking me these questions, bearing in mind we are presenting our manifesto today. We are presenting ourselves to be the largest party in Northern
But you're
Ireland.
Also saying you would work with the SDLP.
We will work with the SDLP.
So if you're sitting down with the SDLP and you're in government with them, if you were in government with them, what would be the joint policy between the SDLP and the UUP on academic selection?
I tell you what, Stephen, we'll sit and work at it. Our line...
You're
we
supposed
would
to be ready!
We are working together. We will see what happens after sort of Thursday. We will see the results after Friday. We will see where we're going to. This is the early stages yet. We haven't... Put it this way.
You don't deserve people's vote, do you, to go into government because you're working on it.
Tell you what, Stephen.
Working on it.
Compared to what DUP Sinn Féin have done, regardless of where we are, we are much more ready
to come into government.
I'm trying to compare
your policy, your joint policy with the SDLP, to what the DUP and Sinn Féin have done in government. I'm trying to ask you what you would do.
We don't have joint policies yet. We're not at that stage. We don't know. We are planning to go into government. We are planning to go into government as, very clearly, the biggest unionist party and the biggest party in Northern
Ireland.
You've also been, and
this is linked to the economy, you've also been presumably having close conversations with the SDLP about Brexit, correct?
As you know, I'm the chair of the Independent Council of Europe. I'm involved with Alistair MacDonald, and I'm very involved in sort of discussions around Brexit. There are definitely differences between ourselves and the SDLP and Brexit. But the one thing we do have discussions on is that we're quite clear about we want what's best for Northern Ireland, because we don't have a plan. Northern Ireland doesn't have a plan.
But do you have a plan?
We've produced our vision paper for Northern Ireland outside Europe. That's Indeed, that's one of the few things that are actually being used as documents and discussions in Whitehall at the moment.
And the SDLP would accept that plan and go into government with you, would they?
It's part of the discussions we will have, but the key thing...
You mean
will
have? Surely you've had them now by now with the SDLP.
I've had discussions with people in the SDLP.
So if you're ready for government, well, how are you going to work that? Because you're both at opposite sides of the fence on Brexit.
No, we are... I tell you what, we're not on opposite sides of the fence on. Doing what is best for Northern Ireland. What we can do going forward. How we can ensure that the various things that we need to have in place that enable us to deal with Brexit are there.
So Colm Eastwood said Brexit was, quote, the most dangerous thing for Northern Ireland since partition.
That very much indeed is probably Colm's view. I don't think Brexit is the most dangerous thing that's happened to Northern Ireland, but the one thing we do know is that Northern Ireland's going to be the most affected part of these islands by Brexit.
So where have you got to with the SDLP and your discussions over Brexit?
We haven't come to any formal position yet, but we wouldn't have come to a formal position yet because...
But you've had detailed discussions, right?
We have had discussions, Stephen.
Right. And where have you got to with those discussions?
We're still having discussions, but what we're looking at doing is what we call the modalities, the kind of issues that we can agree on and the kind of things we should be discussing.
Is triggering Article 50 best for Northern Ireland?
Stephen, and let's be honest about it. I voted to remain. I was very clearly a Remainer, but the British people have spoken. The Unionist Party's position is very clear as well. On balance, not saying that we actually love the EU by any stretch of imagination, on balance, we voted to remain. However, that was the situation. The British people have spoken. The United Kingdom is leaving the EU. And we, very clearly, are going to try and get what's best deal for Northern Ireland. And that is the case.
Is triggering Article 50 best for Northern Ireland?
Article 50 is going to happen, Stephen. It doesn't matter whether it's best or worst, it's going to happen. And actually, now that the decision has been made, let's get on with it. Let's get Article 50 triggered and let's get the best deal for Northern Ireland because it won't change.
But UUP MPs backed triggering Article 50.
Yes, they did, because that is what's... We are unionists, very clearly. The United Kingdom voted to leave the EU. Therefore, our MPs very clearly supported that.
Do you believe in a second referendum once there's a deal on the table to see what that deal is and people in Northern Ireland... And elsewhere in the UK having a second vote?
No. The decision has been made. The British people have spoken. Regardless of
Does
whether you like it or not.
Does the SDLP agree with you on that?
I don't know where they stand on that.
I mean, you don't know. You've had detailed discussions over Brexit.
I have had detailed discussions with lots of people over Brexit.
But these are your bedfellows. You're in bed with them.
Why do you say bedfellows? We are looking to work in partnership. We're not looking to sort of... We need to be in a position...
Vote might get Colm.
Hopefully. Let's vote for Mike, get the Ulster Unionist Party to be the largest unionist party. And let's get what the best government we can for Northern Ireland. Let's go back to it. We're in this election, very much so. The Ulster Unionist Party is standing to be the largest party so we can do what is best for Northern Ireland.
So that current contemporary debate as to whether when a deal is on the table, when we know the conditions, the terms and conditions that we would have as the United Kingdom for leaving Europe, you still to this day, just a couple of days before the election, don't know whether the SDLP's position is we should put that to a second referendum or not. It's being talked about everywhere, that story. You don't know the SDLP's position on that.
It's not a question of where I know the SDLP's position on that. That's not our position. We're the Ulster Unionist Party. Our position is very clear. The British people have spoken. We are leaving Europe. Article 50 will be triggered. And when that happens, we need to get what's best for Northern Ireland.
But surely your problem, Steve...
No, but here's the real problem.
Here's what you're saying to people. You're saying to people, look, after this election, we want to be in government with the SDLP. And yet a couple of days before that election, you've no idea what your partners in government would want to do in terms of a second referendum.
Stephen, that's not the question. I've told you what I've said. We do not want a second referendum. It's very clear. The British people have spoken. But the real issue is we don't have a plan. There is no plan from...
You don't have a plan.
Stephen, stop that. From DUP, DUP Sinn Féin, there is no plan. The Scottish Government have got a plan. The Welsh Government got a plan.
Has the Ulster Unionist Party got a plan?
Yes, we have. And you've seen it. It's our position for Northern Ireland outside of the EU. That's our vision paper for that. You've seen what it is. You know what it is. But the main issue is that Northern Ireland PLC does not have a plan for coming out of Europe. And that is wrong.
Okay.
And we need to sort that out.
If you're in government in a couple of weeks' time with the SDLP, what's your joint position on the Parades Commission and whether it should be scrapped or not?
We're going to have to be. We're going to have a discussion. But our position is that the Parades Commission should go.
No, but what's your? But that's not the SDLP's.
No, but that happens. Stephen, we're going to go into negotiations in partnership.
We've been talking in depth with the SDLP for 8 months.
Yes, but we haven't been talking about these issues. We've been talking about the important things.
For goodness sake, Mike's going to vote for the SDLP.
We're talking about the economy, Stephen. We're talking about what's happening in education, what's happening in healthcare. We're talking about the real issues. Bearing in mind, up until December, this was going to be a government for 5 years. Okay. The DUP Sinn Féin were trying to get were supposed to be getting a budget passed. We haven't even seen a budget, Stephen. What is going on? Let's concentrate on what the real issues are. The real issue is that the DUP Sinn Féin government, so called after the fresh start, has failed after 8 months.
Okay.
And Northern Ireland needs to have a better alternative.
And I'm trying to understand what that alternative would actually be this morning.
But you're asking me, do we have a joint position? Do we have a
on
joint
anything
manifesto?
With the SDLP?
With a joint manifesto.
Not
with
asking
SDLP.
If it's a joint manifesto.
No, we don't. We are standing on our own rights, both parties in this assembly.
Yeah, but you're not actually standing on your own right exclusively,
yes,
are you? Because part of your pitch to people in Northern Ireland is that you are an alternative government, that the partnership between the UUP and SDLP can work. That's part of your pitch. And when I ask you if there's been any detailed discussions between you and your party, you say, yes, there have been, between you and the SDLP. And I'm trying to understand what these detailed discussions have actually resulted in. For example, you talk about real issues in Northern Ireland, the definition of a victim. How have you and the SDLP squared that?
That's one of the things we're discussing and continue to discuss. We need to do this.
But you're supposed to be ready for government.
But Stephen, we are in a situation where 8 months in to an election that was only called in January, you're asking us to come up with sort of fully formed positions. I ask the people out there who are listening to your show, who do you think is going to be in better partnership? Is it going to be DUP and Sinn Féin arguing every 5 minutes about everything? Or would you think it would be better if it was the Ulster Unionist Party, the SDLP? Who do you think is going to be better at partnership?
How do they know what's going to be better if you don't have any fully formed policy that the SDLP would work with you on? Not one.
But how do you know that, Stephen? Have you asked the SDLP?
Because I'm asking you.
Have you asked the SDLP?
I'm asking you. Give me one policy that you and the SDLP can, as soon as you get into government, soar ahead into the sunset on. One policy.
Soar ahead. Stephen, we are standing here as the Ulster Unionist Party with our manifesto for a real partnership.
Vote Mike, get Colin.
A plan for better Northern Ireland. We are going forward. One of the things we need to do and make sure we do going forward is we can work in partnership. The question is, do we have a reasonable chance of making a good and effective government with the SDLP? The answer is yes.
How do you know if you've no notion what the SDLP's terms would be on any policy whatsoever?
Stephen, could it be any worse than the DUP Sinn Féin at the moment that it's broken down? Let's answer that question. Would it be any worse?
So that's the slogan. Vote for us, it can't be any worse.
I'll tell you what, it couldn't be any worse, could it? Could it actually be any worse?
Okay, so
with hospital waiting lists rising,
let's stand back.
The economy stalling.
So let's stand back from this. And I'll give you room here. One policy, as a result of all of these in-depth discussions with the SDLP, one joint policy that the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP have formed to offer people ahead of their vote where they can think, well, there's something that they've reached compromise on.
Stephen, we are talking all the time. We haven't got any joint policies yet because, believe it or not, we've only called this election in January. We need to be in a position where we're working together. But it's quite clear.
We haven't got any joint policies yet.
Well, we wouldn't have, do we? We're both parties going in with separate manifestos to the election. But the one thing is very clear. We've both made very clear indications that we're willing to work in partnership.
You've no notion whether you're going to be able to work in partnership.
Why would you say that, Steve?
Because you can't give me one policy after 8 months of detailed discussions.
We are working in partnership very closely at the moment across a whole range of issues. Have you not seen what we've been doing in opposition? Have you not seen how we've been working again on issues of the economy, issues in education, on infrastructure? Have you not seen that? I think everybody's seen that in the Assembly.
Well, I think what everybody's hearing this morning is me attempting to prise out of you one policy area where you could say, look, here's what we're offering people. We've sat down, we're on opposite sides of the table, but actually, here's our joint way forward for Northern Ireland.
But Stephen, we're not talking about that. We are talking about...
And your response was, we haven't got any joint policy yet.
Stephen, that's the case. We didn't expect there to be an election. Here we are in January after the election started. The one thing we have is we have two manifestos, and this is the Ulster Unionist Party manifesto about real partnership. And here's the thing. We're both committed to working together, which is much more than the DUP, Sinn Féin are even thinking about. So let's think about what's best for Northern Ireland.
How are you committed to working with the SDLP if you don't know what their red lines are?
Why are we talking about red lines? We're talking about partnerships. We're talking about negotiations. DUP and Sinn Féin seem to have red lines all over the place. Why is everybody talking? We're going into negotiations. I've been a chief executive for long enough to know that I'm not going to go into a negotiation with predefined ideas. We have a negotiating position, which we're not going to talk about in the radio today. The SDLP probably have a negotiating position, but we're going in to negotiate. But we're going to think that we're going to do what's best for Northern Ireland and working in partnership. Because, Stephen, it needs to be about partnership. It can't be about this aggressive, I don't want to work with you attitude that DUP and Sinn Féin have. We need to have a different approach.
Sinn Féin and the DUP worked together. That was what Fresh Start was all about.
Oh, it worked perfectly well together until the middle of December. Then it all collapsed overnight. And now we have an election. So that was working together. Do the people of Northern Ireland actually think that DUP, Sinn Féin working together was actually making Northern Ireland a better place? How come it all collapsed with sort of the first blow of the wind? Why didn't Arlene Foster do what Peter Robinson did and even stood aside for a couple of weeks? All this problem would have been sorted out. What is going on?
So you agree, do you? You would back Sinn Féin when they wanted to determine who the First Minister of this country should have been?
I'm never going to back Sinn Féin, Stephen. Why are you saying that?
Well, because it was Sinn Féin dictating to Arlene Foster to step down.
Why didn't
she? So you're backing their position?
What did Arlene Foster do? Why didn't she step aside? Why didn't she do what most politicians would have done?
What's been proven against her for her to step aside?
Stephen, let's look at what's happened. You know, I know, all the discussions have been going on all around RHI. The issue was quite simple. When she was in China, what she should have done and what she clearly would have done was say, here's an issue, I take accountability and responsibility for it. When I got home, I'm going to sort it all out. There is precedence. There is precedence from her own party. There was our precedence from the previous First Minister, Peter Robinson, and she didn't do it. There was nobody more surprised than Arlene Foster didn't step aside than Sinn Féin, or in fact, anybody else in the Assembly.
But why should she have stepped aside? So I understand that Sinn Féin wanted her to step aside.
Question is, why didn't she do it?
Why should Sinn Féin be able to impose their will on the First Minister of this country?
Here's another question, Stephen. Why was she so arrogant not to step aside even for a couple of weeks?
Why should she have stepped aside? What's proven against her?
The fact that we've already spent $64 million in a scheme that's gone up in smoke. The fact that it's costing £85,000 a day. The fact it's costing us £60 a minute and it's costing us £1 a second. Do you not think a minister should take accountability and responsibility for what they do? And why didn't she step aside? Because it would have solved this problem. Are you trying to tell me that Arlene Foster and all her numerous spads does not have sufficient political acumen to realise all she had to do was stand aside for a couple of weeks and the problem would have blown over
Stepping aside for a couple of weeks, what would that have achieved other than giving Sinn Féin what they wanted?
Her stepping aside for a couple of weeks and allowing the inquiry to continue would have allowed us to be in a situation we wouldn't have an election. This election has been caused by complete arrogance.
So you do support, so you think she should have buckled to Sinn Féin?
No, she should have seen what was politically expedient, what was best for Northern Ireland, and stood aside. Not wait
politically
until Sinn Féin.
Expedient?
It would
That's
have
what you think a leader should do, be politically expedient?
Well, what else would a political leader do?
I'll tell you what she
do?
Did. She stood up to Sinn Féin.
Did she?
She said, you're not going to tell me what
did
to do.
Did she? She backed...
Meanwhile, you're backing Sinn Féin.
She backed Northern Ireland into a corner. She backed the government into a corner, into such a situation that there was no chance of anything being recovered from it. So why did she
So Sinn Féin were right to walk away, were they?
No, Stephen, stop. Let's walk back from this. Why did she do what she did all the way along? Why didn't she take advice? Why didn't she take advice from some of her key people in her own party who said that she should have been less arrogant and might have considered stepping aside? Why? Those are the questions we need to know. It's not the question of why, if you back Sinn Féin and...
Sinn Féin were right to pull down the government, were they?
No, they were not. Nobody was right to bring down the government. What should have happened is that Arlene
You're
Foss...
all over the place now.
No, I'm not. I'm being very clear about it.
So Sinn Féin were not right to bring down the government, but Arlene Foster should have buckled to Sinn Féin.
Arlene Foster should have stepped aside to make sure we didn't get in the situation where Sinn Féin could have been able to dictate the situation. Why didn't she just step aside for
because
a couple of weeks?
Because that would have been playing to Sinn Féin's tune.
Hi.
Your medal?
Was Peter Robinson playing to Sinn Féin's tune? Was he? Was Peter Robinson playing to Sinn Féin's tune? Nobody accused him of playing to Sinn Féin's tune when he stepped aside. So why wouldn't Arlene Foster step aside? Why did she bring down the entirety of the government? Why, after, you know, coming in May with such a large mandate and the opportunity to absolutely do such great things for Northern Ireland going forward, why did she bottle it? Why did she lose it? What has happened? What is really behind this whole RHI scheme? Why is the incompetence, the arrogance, the cronyism, and let's be quite frank, probably alleged corruption? What's going on behind
all
this?
You keep on throwing this out, alleged corruption. What that actually means is you have no proof. That's why you're saying alleged corruption. You have no proof whatsoever, nor is there any substantiated evidence of corruption within the government. Cheap political shot. Is your party not better than that?
Why is it a cheap political shot? What is everybody out there in
tell me
Northern
the
Ireland saying?
Tell me the corruption that's been proven. You can't tell me one policy so far. So now that you've agreed with the SDLP, tell me the proven corruption.
Stephen, why would we talking about...
Let's stay on the subject. What's the proven corruption?
I didn't say there was proven
corruption. Right, well, why just throw it out there?
Because it's alleged corruption.
Right.
Well, let's talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. If there's an allegation about alleged corruption comes into this programme about you, should I level it at you?
Yes, please do.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And you think that would be fair?
Yes, it would be.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're better than that. We wouldn't do it. We would go, we would research it, and before we say anything, we would know it to be true before we would level an allegation against you. Your party's that desperate that you're throwing this out, alleged corruption, again, something that Sinn Féin talk about. That's their phrase too.
But
nothing proven.
Well, let's look at where we are with RHI. Let's look what's out there. Let's look at when the public inquiry is due to kick off. Let's look what's going to go going forward. Let's see what's happening. Let's see all the issues out there as well. There's not, think about it. We're in the situation, and we talk to the people out in the streets. I talk to my constituents all the time. You know, there's Red Sky, NAMA, VisaGate, RHI, whatever. There is more than a whiff of corruption around this government. It's not a cheap. It is definitely not a cheap political statement, Stephen. You know as
you
well as I do.
With the DUP during Red Sky and NAMA.
What, the Ulster Unionist Party was?
Yeah.
Not me. I was
Your
elected
party was.
Last May. We were minor ministers through it.
So you were in government with them?
Well, let's think about how the government situation works here. Is there proper cabinet responsibility? No, there isn't.
Let's talk about...
Is there a cabal that goes on between sort of the DUP and Sinn Féin who made up the decisions first and foremost and then presented them to the rest of the executive to do? Yes, we know that was the case.
Let's move on because we've got 5 minutes left. What's your party's position on gay marriage?
It's a matter of conscience to everybody in the party.
No policy?
No, there is no policy. It is a matter of personal conscience.
Right. Should there not be a policy?
No, it is a matter of personal conscience.
Do you believe people in this country should be able to get married if they're gay?
Yes, I do. I'm very clear about it. I believe in marriage equality for civil weddings, and providing I can be assured that no churches will ever be forced to marriage people against their religious beliefs, that's where I stand.
Why did your leader abstain in the vote? Where does he stand on it?
It's a matter of personal conscience.
Yeah, but where does he stand?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Why? Why would I? Why? It's a matter of personal conscience, Stephen. I don't ask anybody those views.
Has he expressed his conscience?
He hasn't expressed his conscience to me, but I'm not asking him about
those
questions.
So the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, you don't know whether he is for or against gay marriage?
I don't know.
Why would you? Is that not what people are entitled to know in this country, where he stands on it?
They can ask him. It's a matter of personal conscience.
You're here to represent your party.
It's a matter of personal conscience. We have of our 24 MLAs are standing, I have no idea of how other people view it, the rest of it. It is a matter of personal conscience. So, Stephen, if somebody wants to ask Mike his view on it, ask Mike his view on it. But it is a matter of personal conscience. And we're quite clear on that.
Pretty farcical, isn't it? That here we are in 2017, one of the contemporary issues, only one of the contemporary issues that's discussed in Northern Ireland, whether the definition of marriage should be protected and gay marriage should remain banned in Northern Ireland, or whether indeed gay people should be able to get married in Northern Ireland. And the representative for the UUP can't even tell me what the leader's position is on it.
Because it's a matter of personal conscience, Stephen.
But what is his personal conscience?
Ask him.
I'm asking you.
Why would you ask me? I've told you what my personal views on it. Why don't you... You can ask any of our candidates what their views on it. It's a matter of personal
Why
conscience.
Why did he abstain rather than voting for or against?
I don't know. Ask him. I do not know. It's a matter of personal conscience. I've made my position clear. That's where I stand.
One of your pledges is standing up for the LGBT community. Was that standing up for them? Abstaining?
Stephen, this is a matter of personal conscience. There's a whole other raft of issues on LGBT rights. And those are things we want to see. No discrimination. We don't want to see any sort of... We want to see the removal of fear from the factors. We want to be able to make sure that people are treated with equality. And if the issue comes before, it is a matter of conscience of the party. I've made my position clear. And if you want to ask Mike's position, ask Mike. But equally, ask any of our candidates. And people at the doors do. And I've made my position clear. And some people like it and some people don't. But that's the situation where I am. I'm very clear about it.
It's interesting that you've made your position clear, but your leader hasn't.
Well, ask him. Yeah, go on, ask him.
The point remains. Here we are ahead of an election. Yes, you have made your position clear. Your leader hasn't.
But it's a matter of personal conscience across the party. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with that, Stephen?
What alternative, because we're at the end now, what alternative Northern Ireland do you see in a few days' time if you really did get power? How would things change?
I think it'd change very dramatically. It'll change very dramatically because you'll have parties that are willing to work in partnership, parties that are willing to put Northern Ireland first, parties that are interested in dealing with the real issues and not dealing with fear. But there's a real fear issue out there, Stephen. It's not to do with fear with DUP Sinn Féin. It's fear to do with what's happening with our health service. It's what's happening with our economy.
You would close many hospitals, would you?
Stephen, one of the things we need to do is start depoliticising health. And one of the key things we need to do is be able to look at Bangoa, get some more details in Bangoa and look where we're going forward. It's not a question of buildings. It's a question of people.
What did you think was wrong in Bangoa?
There's a lot more detail that needs to come out in Bangoa.
Sure,
Bangoa forms a framework of the way we're going to go forward. But the key...
Was there anything in Bangoa that you felt, Stephen, as a party you couldn't implement?
No. Stephen, here's one of the key things going forward about Bangoa and the health service as well. The issue has to be about improving efficiency. It has to be very clearly about getting back the extra 920 medical professionals we need to get back into the system. It needs to be about ensuring that our GP service and our GP service is supported. And bearing in mind we've got a rapidly ageing group of GPs and where they're going to. The health service needs to be prioritised and going forward. We need to be able to sort that out. And one of the things we need to do is we need to help remove the layers of bureaucracy and management and put the money that is very clearly be indicated by DUP Sinn Féin that they say is available into helping.
Would you implement Bangoa in full?
We will look into Bangoa. We will look at the key
issues. You would look into it. Would you implement it in full?
We are looking to depoliticise the health service and the thing we want
to do. The question is, would you implement Bangoa in full?
We want to be able to work with Bangoa to get it.
Would you implement it in full?
We are looking to do what we can. We will see Bangoa. We will see the key.
And you'll see it. Surely you've read it.
We have read it. And there's a lot of detail in it. But there's a lot of detail missing. We need to do it.
Thanks for coming in this morning, Steve.
Cheers, Stephen. Thank you. Hope you get better, by the way.
Thank you.